Well, I am shocked and dismayed.
Well, now you can't be both. You be shocked, I'll be dismayed.
Welcome to episode 2 of Podcaster Meets World, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I am one of your hosts, TF Joe and Mike. Joining me is Steve Megatron. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Today we'll be giving you our thoughts on the second half of Boy Meets World Season 1. We watched the final 11 out of the 22 episodes, and we're here to celebrate 25 years of this groundbreaking family television show. The final episodes here that for season one, you got Once in Love with Amy, She Loves Me, She Loves Me Not, The B Team of Life, Model Family, Risky Business, The Fugitive, It's a Wonderful Night, Kid Gloves, The Plays the Thing, Boy Meets Girl, and I Dream of Feeny.
Feeny.
I love the Feeny call.
I'm going to put Morgan to bed, and then you and I are going to talk a little more.
Kind of a relationship-building thing?
No.
Great. First time in my life I'm in trouble with someone else's dad. Guys, your dad just got home.
Where is he?
Upstairs putting your sister to bed. What'd you find out?
Nothing good.
Mom was at the club.
She was dancing with some guy.
In those red shoes.
Wow.
Yeah, she was snuggling up with him in a dark booth.
Who was it?
I don't know. I couldn't tell.
Neither could I. There were lace curtains and plastic grapes hanging all over the place.
So what are you going to do?
I have no idea.
I can't keep this a secret, Eric. You know me. I'll crack. Dad'll say goodnight, son, and I'll say, Mom was with another guy.
Look, I mean, you're right. We're going to have to tell him. Corey, Eric, you know I'm always here for you. Just not right now. By the way, I told him you were at the library.
Great lie, Sean.
The library closes at 9 o'clock. Yeah, he knew that, too.
This is not going to be easy to tell Dad.
Maybe we could just send him a letter. Dear sir, your wife was dancing with another guy. Signed, a concerned citizen.
Good night, Morgan.
Oh, no! He's going to say goodnight to me next! I'm going to blow! You got to handle this, Eric!
Look, you just stay quiet. Let me do all the talking.
Well, hey, guys.
Hey, Dad.
Where's Sean?
Oh, Sean decided to walk home.
I'd have driven him.
Oh, relax, Daddy. He lives 2 blocks away, and I want you to sit down, relax, not think that anything terrible is going on in your life. Slice the pizza.
Hey,
where's my change?
No, speaking of change can be a very positive thing in one's life, especially unexpected change, which, funnily enough, we're going to be talking about right now.
What's going on? Where were you two?
Well, for 2.5 hours, we were on 4 different city buses going to and coming from this place.
This place? Could you be a little more specific, please?
It was a rectangular place. We were at La Bougia, Dad.
La Bougia?
Mom was with another guy!
She was dancing.
With another guy!
Yeah, Corey looked in the window and recognized Mom's shoes and the shoes of...
Do I have to draw you a picture?
That's all we could see. It was dark. Here's Mom's car.
Quick! More pizza!
Well, guess I'll have to have a little talk with your mother.
Hey, I'm here for you, Dad.
That's why I had you, son.
Stranger.
Hi. Well, I just had an interesting conversation with Corey and Eric.
Is anything wrong?
Yeah, we're busted.
Ken, found out? Guess we just weren't sneaky enough.
Oh, actually, I was sneaky enough.
What?
They only caught you, you brazen hussy.
Now, Once in Love with Amy more focuses on Alan and Amy than it does Corey. I mean, he is trying to figure out the, you know, the math word problem thing, but it's pretty much all about the parents in this. And this is what I love about this show. It can do episodes focusing on the kids and teaching them a lesson. It can do episodes focusing on the parents and also still teaching the kids a lesson. So, and this episode, in this episode, the lesson is kids see things in black and white and adults see things in gray areas at times. As an adult, I've never grown out of my kid black and white phase on a lot of things. I'm freely admitting that. I have not. I'm very stubborn when it comes to certain things. My wife hates it. But what I love about this episode is that it kind of explores the whole married and cheating thing. Okay, I say that, and I don't mean that I love that, oh, they're married and they're cheating on each other. That's not what I... What I love is it explores the potentially dangerous situation from a kid's point of view. As kids, we assume the worst in everything, especially when it comes to our parents. This episode shows how far negatively Eric and Corey start to think and get way ahead of themselves, because the situation wasn't even what they thought it was. How did you feel about this episode after you watched it again?
It's easy to think that way as a kid. I mean, you always kind of question things that your parents are doing and not really fully realizing what's going on at any given point. Even as adults, you never understand other people at any given point. I can kind of see how that would be taken that way. I mean, but that's one of the nice things about this show, is it kind of touches on those kind of philosophical thoughts from both perspectives,
right,
of the parent and the kid,
right?
So yeah, and of course a kid is always going to think the worst possible thing in the world.
Absolutely.
Because it's an insecurity.
Yep. And the kids, they, you know, as kids we all feel like, you know, everything in the world has to be a certain way, or this, you know. Once our parents instill their values into us and we have their values and we grow and learn with those, and our opinions then will change. But, you know, once we, like, this is a rule. This rule must be followed no matter what, kind of a thing. And, you know, this episode, as I said, kind of shows the whole gray area of things. And the fact, and I'm going to say this throughout this entire podcast series that we do this, the fact that we get glimpses into Alan and Amy and their marriage and how they are as a married couple versus how they are as parents, and just, it just is so well done. And yet, it's been 25 years since the show debuted, folks, and it just doesn't, well, yeah, 25 years. And it just, there isn't anything like this on TV now. Like, comedy, like, this is a family comedy. Family comedies now are either too dark or too light and bright.
Stupid.
And, okay, there's that, too.
There are some stupid ones, and usually they're the ones that are, like, the first-person interview type that they sit there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stand those shows. It's like, anyways, but I do like the aspect that, a kid's imagination runs wild when they aren't sure of the entire situation.
Yeah.
And it just shows that they were over exaggerating the entire issue because they didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly. My favorite line of the episode comes from Alan. I didn't get caught, but you did, you hussy. And just the way he's looking at Amy, just, you know, he says it in a loving, affectionate kind of way, and I just love their whole dynamic. At the same time, I also enjoyed how Corey and Eric have two very differing opinions on the whole thing. Eric is older and thinks Amy and Alan keeping their relationship fresh is cool, Whereas Corey believes that he's lying, that lying is a bad thing. And lying is a bad thing, because that's what Corey sees. Again, it's the whole black and white versus gray kind of a thing. And yeah, this is one of my favorite episodes of the earlier seasons of the series.
Well, and I think Feeney kind of makes it funny in one of his quotes, in saying that in the course of your education, you've been taught to look for the right answer, but you also must know that in life, many times the right answer is that there isn't one.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah. It's just... and then, of course, you know, to add a lighter moment to that, Minkus is like, you know, I think I may have inadvertently discovered the secret of time travel.
Yes, exactly.
Just throwing it off. But no, but I think Feeney always has like the most philosophical, meaningful quotes, just like they gave Corey in the newer show. Although his, to be honest, weren't as philosophical as Feeney.
No. They really weren't. He tries, and I think Corey
I think it was because it was a Disney-fied show instead of an ABC show.
Yeah. Well, there's a line in one of these episodes where... that we'll talk about here coming up. I forgot to write it down, but I remember the line because I'll probably go back and grab the audio. There's a line where... I think it's in Model Family, the Model Family episode, where Feeney says... this isn't a TV show where writers write your own dialogue and whatever else. Because if it was, I'd have the best lines all... It was something to the effect of... It was Feeney, but it was also William Daniels commenting on the fact of his acting career and working for it. I thought it was hilarious. Up next we have She Loves Me, She Loves Me Not. Topanga develops a crush on Eric, but Corey gets the impression that her affections are directed at him.
Stuart?
Yes?
Did you leave this paper rose on my desk?
No.
Oh. Actually, it isn't a rose. It's a camellia. In the language of flowers, a white camellia means perfect loveliness. At least, that's what I've read.
Well, then.
The person who left this for me must be a sensitive and caring soul.
Is it just me, or is love blooming among the nerd sets?
I don't know. The only time I've ever seen a look like that was just before Bambi's mother caught that bullet.
What a movie they'd make. It's Minkus in Love. Watch what happens when 48 pounds of nearsighted geek meets 10 pounds of hair from a parallel universe.
Yeah, this episode was interesting, also at times forgettable, because if you fast forward through this series and go to the end when, you know, the wedding, when Eric's like, you know, after Eric's already gone crazy and everything else, and he's like, Topanga, run away with me and let's make Nick Nick and whatever else, and she goes and attacks him and whatever, you don't really remember this episode at all.
No.
What did you think of She Loves Me, She Loves Me Not?
Topanga's weird.
Well, we kind of already knew that.
At least initially in this first season.
Yeah.
It isn't until, like, later on that she's, like, normalized. Like, she's kind of that weird, hey, get away from me, man. She's in her, like, kind of zone for the most part. I don't know. And then they kind of try to normalize her a little bit, you know, with having her stop by Corey's and, you know. Mm-hmm. She's kind of trying to help normalize them in a sense. At least to her degree.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I don't know. I mean, it's not bad. I don't know. I don't really have much of an opinion on this particular episode.
I don't
but
either, really.
It's kind of meh for
me.
Yeah,
I liked it, but I didn't. Like, the fact that she has a crush on Eric is kind of what kills it for me. Like, really? Seriously?
Well, and then later on, like, way later in the series, she's like, it's like brother and sister scenario, like, yeah. When they're both on a diet type of thing.
Yep.
Which was hilarious.
Yeah, absolutely. Up next, we have the B Team of Life. Corey and Minkus are assigned to the basketball B team at school and rarely get to play. However, Corey also gets the feeling that he is on the B team with his own family. What is so cool about this one is that, as it says, it focuses on the family of the three children angle, the oldest, youngest, and middle child. As an only child, I cannot speak to the family part, but I can to the being ignored or left out by my friends at school at times. As for Corey spending time by himself until he got hungry, again, as an only child with a single working mom, yeah, I get it. But this one was a little different, where he just didn't know where his family was. Now, you are the oldest of three, so you're essentially the Eric of your family.
Basically. Yep.
And Kevin's the Morgan. That's crazy.
Yeah. Which doesn't necessarily mean it's a good thing, being the oldest.
No.
It means you're the guinea pig.
That's right.
They try out everything on you, and then when it doesn't or does work, they totally change it for the next two.
Yep.
So.
Absolutely. What else did you do? Now, had you ever done the sports thing as a kid in school or anything like that?
I played sports. I played soccer. That was like my go-to. Mm-hmm. In elementary school, that was kind of the thing I did. In high school, I wanted to play hockey, but they actually canceled the hockey team because our school didn't have the funds. And they didn't bring it back until Kevin was actually in high school.
Oh, jeez.
And then they made the students have to pay for it if they wanted to do it, which never came back because they didn't have the money. It was just a big running gag, but... I never wanted to be on any other sport. Like, I played soccer in elementary school because I was good at it. And I was a lot smarter than a lot of the people on my team, especially when the other team would kind of lay up and then do the same goal, like, over and over and over. And then they would finally put me out there and I would just break their same move. I don't know. I'm a fixer of problems, man. but yeah, I wasn't really a huge sports guy for the most part, though.
I was and I wasn't. I was on several softball and basketball teams, but not in early elementary school. Like, it was like middle, like 7th, 8th, 9th grades, or 6th, 7th, 8th grade kind of a thing, or whatever. It just wasn't a thing for me, and by high school, I was completely out of the sports high school thing. Like, I had, like, wasn't athletic at all, but, like, some of the leagues that I did play in middle school and stuff were kind of really, really fun side things. It wasn't, like, for the school itself, but it was whatever. We didn't really have an A or a B team. Then we come up to Model Family. This is the one where Corey learns that there is no such thing as the perfect family when he is assigned to get in a group with Sean, Topanga, and Minkus and work together as a family. And this episode, because there's a side story in this episode with Eric and Eric becoming a model. Kathy Ireland is a special guest star. Wow. Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's old school.
Very old school. I mean, she was super young back then, but just looking at her Wikipedia now, there's an image of her that's 6 years old, and damn. But the whole model family thing, the thing I wrote about this is that they're really... Like the lesson says, there is no quote-unquote model family. Every family deals with life differently. You know, what my family did growing up may not be the same as yours, may not be the same as Optimus Solo's, may not be the same as Movie Revolt, yada, yada, yada. That's the whole thing. Like, there is no... I was telling my wife Karen this, you know, a couple of times when we first met, and I was telling my, at the time, therapist about this. You know, my path in life was not, you know, oh, high school, college, marriage, kids, blah, 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 blah. It was not that. It was a completely different path. You know, the whole 1960s, 70s, or even before the 60s and 70s, but the whole 70s, 80s, 90s thing of, oh, you get a job, you get married, you have kids, you have, you know, the house and the this and the that. As the quote-unquote American dream, or as the quote-unquote, you know, normalcy or model of how life should be. And that's not how life is. That's not, you know, not everyone leads down that path. You know?
Yep.
Excuse me. So, any thoughts on Model Family? What did you like, dislike about it?
Eric is gullible, as usual.
He gets worse as the series goes along.
I know.
I mean, but yeah, Eric is very gullible. Up next, we had Risky Business, where they're betting on horses. This one, again, this one kind of starts the whole
gambling.
Yeah, it's gambling, but it also starts the whole exploring Sean angle of the series. Like it,
and his dad.
Yeah, and his dad and his uncle and this and that and everything else. Because obviously the next episode, The Fugitive, will really explore that, which I absolutely love. But Risky Business, you know, hey, it's a Tom Cruise movie. I liked it, but it's not an episode I'll go back to.
Yeah, most of the first season I kind of have a hard time going back to, just because they weren't really cemented in their character at that point.
Yeah. There's, like, out of the 22 episodes, there's maybe, like, 11 or it's like half of the episodes I can go back and watch, but not the whole season. Like I said, with The Fugitive, when Sean blows up the mailbox at Alan's grocery store with a cherry bomb, he stays in Corey's room to avoid going home. This obviously explores the fact of, you know, kids doing something wrong and fearing the punishment or whatever's going to happen with their parents. And Sean has said his parents are there, and we both know, because we've seen the show obviously plenty of times at this point in our lifetime, that his mom and his dad are around, but obviously we never really see them, at least in the first season. And then this is the whole thing of, you know, a kid being afraid to face his parents, to face up to the consequences of his actions. And this, to me, is the cornerstone, is the starting point of us really seeing Corey and Sean's friendship. Then we had It's a Wonderful Night. This is the one where at school, Sean informs Corey that he rented an R-rated movie and tells him that they will watch the horror film in the Matthews household. Amy and Alan don't allow any type of material like that inside their home and ban it. Sean and Corey then attempt to smuggle it in since his parents will be out for the evening. Meanwhile, Judy, the Matthews' regular babysitter, canceled due to skin condition. Yeah, Judy, the acne queen there. Do we ever see her? I forget if we do.
I don't know.
Yeah. So basically, you know, Eric convinces Mr. Feeney to step in as the babysitter, which then all hilarity ensues. I mean, come on. Mr. Feeney in makeup and earrings? Come on! I thought that was so funny.
Well, and then, of course, you know, Eric gets his dad's car impounded.
Yep.
Because, think, Eric, don't do it without a driver's license, man.
Yep. Absolutely.
Sadly, and his friend Jason Marsden is there.
Yes, Jason, that's right. Jason was also in the Kathy Ireland episode. It's kind of where he debuted, I believe. But yes.
Didn't he move from this to Step by Step?
I think he did, yeah. I'm pretty sure. But
I knew he was in both.
Yeah. He is in this throughout the entire series sporadically. The only reason why I know this is because of the simple fact that there is an episode later in the high school years where Eric is banging his head against the wall, the locker, and Jason is saying this really funny line, because he's doing that. We gotta get Jason Marsden back on.
I met him in person. Super awesome, dude.
Yeah, he is super awesome. Very super awesome, dude. The thing with It's a Wonderful Night, my notes for this one basically say, the driving lesson. Thankfully, I have never ever had the overindulgent need to drive. Not just because of my cerebral palsy and all that, but just, my brain was never wired the way most teenagers' brains are to, like, ooh, driving is the ultimate freedom kind of a thing. Because I moved around so much and did so many things and went so many different places. It's like, I don't need to drive. And I, even now, like, there's no way in hell I could drive. There's just no way. Not even because of the physical stuff, but it's also my eyes and the whole depth perception thing. And it just would not work. But,
sometimes I hate driving.
I can imagine.
But I don't have to do it much, so therefore it's not that horrible.
Yeah, not anymore. Now that you're not, driving cars around a parking lot.
Nope. I get to sit in the heat.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then we have the episode Kid Gloves. Corey, Sean, Minkus, and Topanga are required to choose an extracurricular activity, and they all wind up in scuba diving. The next day, Corey is celebrating his 12th birthday, and Alan bestows to him a gift. Corey realizes that the gift is just a worthless necklace of silver mittens, but he pretends to love it in order to not hurt Alan's feelings. Alan becomes disappointed, knowing that Corey doesn't like his gift. Meanwhile, Morgan is persistently whining that she didn't get a gift like before during Corey and Eric's birthday. And the episode goes on and on and on. So basically, this is a father-son thing about passing stuff on to your kids and all of that. And what I like about this one is we actually get to know Alan even more. Like, second in all of the U.S. Navy for boxing. That's amazing. Like, come on. I remember having stuff from my dad that had given to me, but there was nothing like so significant. Like, there have been several things over the years, but or when I was a kid that I've kept over the years, and sadly I probably don't have a lot of them anymore because of moving and whatever else. The best scene in this episode might be the best scene in the whole season, the diving scene with Corey that was underwater. And just seeing all the stuff that was under the pool water, like somebody tried to, brick a Barbie. I was like, wow, really? Did you have anything that your dad had given to you as like a significant kind of a thing?
He's given me quite a few things over the years. One of them, we went to an air show one time when I was like 4. Mm-hmm. And I get this airfield pin. And I still have it to this day. Funny thing was, is I was unpacking I can't remember what it was, but it was something that, like, I don't know if it was a Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts uniform thing from when I was a kid that I may have stuck it to. And the funny thing was, is I still had it, and I was like, oh, that's awesome. And so I repackaged it and saved it so that it wouldn't get lost. And I also have a couple of watches that my dad gave me from the shop, because he works for General Motors.
Oh,
and cool. So they get like these limited edition watches type things based on when they get a new model, a new generation of truck. So he's given me a couple of those. So I mean, it's like the little things. Like, I still have a CD-ROM game that came out years ago that my grandfather gave me before he passed away in 99. I never was able to play it because when he gave it to me, it was too old to function on modern computers because of the clock speeds. I'm sure I could figure out a way to get it running now or find another way of playing the same game, but I saved those discs because even though I couldn't play them, it was kind of that a thing that he gave to me before he died, so it was kind of a meant something.
Right, absolutely.
So I mean, it's stuff like that.
Yup. Cool. All right, up next we've got The Plays the Thing. Corey's class is making a play about William Shakespeare's Hamlet, and Corey gets the lead role with Tobaga and Minkus as his co-stars. At home, Corey tries to practice for his annual golf game with Alan, Amy, and Eric. Eric then tells Corey that he'll throw the game off for the price of $5. While Corey's class is rehearsing for the play, Corey tries to convince Mr. Feeney to make changes to it to make it more exciting. I like that they're looking at Hamlet, and earlier they looked at Romeo and Juliet in this season and things like that, but, like, I don't get these. I don't know. This episode just... Like, I guess the lesson out of this is when Corey quits the play, like, you know, don't just quit on something. Just, you know, follow it through, maybe, kind of a thing. But I don't know. This one was, again, not one of my favorites for the season. Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, well, if for one, this is something I'm having to teach my son, just in board games alone, of, you know, when you set yourself out to do something, you need to follow through and finish.
Right.
He's a poor sport. Much like I was as a child. And that he realizes he's losing, and he's like, nope, done, start over, like, game over. He's like, nope. And I'm like, no, like, listen, you seriously have to finish. You have to follow through. Like, you know, in life, there is really no, you know, do-over type stuff. So, you know, we're having to, you know, tell him, you know, look, you can't play a game or want to play a game if you're not going to finish. Like, you need to, you know, win or lose, you know, you need to play. Like,
yeah.
And that's kind of what we're trying to teach him, because, you know, I play board games with my wife all the time, and she beats me every time. And most of the time, like, I'd say 90% of the time she beats me. But, like, and I tried telling him that. I'm like, look, you're not going to win every game. And I don't take it easy on him, because, like, I think it's kind of important that, one, for his you know, mental skills, and two, like, he's learning something while he's playing, even if it is frustrating. Like, and I'm not even playing that hard of a game. But it's just trying to teach him that, you know, it's okay to lose in some scenarios.
Right.
And there have been instances where he's beaten me. So, like, it's not a, you know, one-way road. It's because, you know, we'll play, like, Uno and stuff like that, and he just got a new game from Christmas that we let him open. But so, I mean, it's the same concept applies even for this. Like, you know, you can't just quit.
Yeah, no, you can't. Quitting before, you know, the game is done, that's not exactly a great thing at all.
No.
Then we get Boy Meets Girl. Corey and Sean's class watch a video about puberty, which disgusts them. Shortly after, Sean's eyes are caught by a beautiful classmate named Hillary. Sean asks Hillary out, despite his agreement with Corey that they'll stay 12 until they're 42. Why is it always 42? Come on! In an attempt to keep up with his buddy, Corey asks Topanga out on a date, not knowing what dating really means. Corey then asks Minkus for advice on dating, and he gives Corey the answer to date the girl in the dress, meaning Topanga. This is by far one of the coolest ones, because seeing these kids tackle this issue, like, wow.
It is. The funny thing is it seems like it's almost much earlier than how Girl Meets World did it.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. Boy Meets Girl, absolutely love that. And, you know, obviously Girl Meets World is going to do it differently. You know. What I love is how this episode ends, where Corey and Sean discuss about their first dates and always promise to stick together despite the coming of second dates, proms, engagements, and marriage. Corey says one marriage, and Sean says something about, well, at least fifth, five or six or whatever it is he says. And then at the end of the episode, Hillary and Topanga both walk by the hallway with them, and they're like, hi, Sean. Hi, Corey. And neither one of them stays put. They both go with the girls because, hello. You know. But yeah, absolutely love that. It was just a fun episode. It was a way to look at the whole, you know, puberty, sex education thing in school at that time. Very, very cool. The season ends with I Dream of Feeny.
Yeah. I have to say that every time.
Mm-hmm. Turns out Mr. Feeney's in the hospital. I forget why exactly, but some sort of something. And because they're all worried about this geography quiz and whatever else, and then the substitute comes in. And it's the whole, lesson of growth and Corey has the dream of him constantly killing Feeny. What is so interesting about this is because Minkus is so worried about Feeny, he doesn't even have the power to trade insults with Sean. And it's like, really? Wow. Like, I mean, I know Minkus is a dweeb and all, but, like, pretty cool character. Really, really dug Minkus in this episode. And this episode, Morgan is not around. Also, this is the last episode to credit Lee Norris as a regular cast member and his last appearance on the show until the season 5 finale, Graduation. So they removed Minkus after season 1.
Yep. And then we see him again, I think, at Graduation.
Yeah, that's what I just said, yeah.
Yeah, we'll see
him again at Graduation.
And then in Girl Meets World.
Yep,
obviously. Like twice. Yeah.
Oh no, more than twice.
Yeah, maybe it was like 3 or 4 times, but
he becomes a permanent fixture once it's revealed that he is Farkle's father.
Yeah.
He's not always around, but the whole implication, like season whatever it is, season 2 or season 3 of that show, once it's revealed that he's obviously, you know, Farkle's dad, and you know, we'll talk about it later who Farkle's mom is, but yeah, I mean, overall, season 1 of Boy Meets World, they're out of the 22 episodes, they're, like I said before, there are about 10 or 11, about half, that I can go back and watch and really have fun with and also see the lesson in them. I enjoyed season 1. I enjoyed going back watching the show. I like seeing how the show has evolved from the pilot episode to where it is at the end of this season with I Dream of Feeny, where they've pretty much got the whole core group set. It's Corey and Sean, Topanga, and Minkus, and then obviously Minkus will leave. It'll just be Corey, Sean, and Topanga, and eventually it'll be Corey, Sean, Topanga, Angela, Jack, and Rachel, and all that down the line. But, yeah, this first season, going back and rewatching it, man, I still love this show. This show is one of a kind.
Oh, yeah, it's still one of my favorite go-tos.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we are going to take a quick break. You're going to hear some ads from our other podcast affiliates, other stuff coming up on the GCRN as well. So we'll be back after this to close the show.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Car.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks. every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
The Powers of Grayskull series will cover every episode of all four Masters of the Universe cartoons, John Optimus Solo, and myself, TF2 and Mike, as we tell tales of Eternia, discover the myths of Etheria, become masters in space, and finally Masters of Grayskull. We'll have a commentary on the Secret of the Sword film, and a few other special episodes. You can find this 125-episode-long podcast in iTunes and on the web at geekcastradio.com. By the power and honor of Grayskull, we all have the power.
Hurry, Skeletor, hurry!
I am hurrying, I'm hurrying!
Thank you for calling P Harmony, the service that matches you with the podcast that best fits your interests and needs.
I really hope you could help me because I have had no luck finding the perfect movie podcast that gives me everything that I want.
Well, that's my job. What are you looking for in a podcast?
Well, it needs to be a movie podcast that covers old and new stuff, one that reviews movies but also talks about movie news, discusses new trailers, and is willing just to have fun with some crazy movie games. Maybe even, you know, like the occasional top 10 countdown. Oh, and it's got to be a podcast that is willing at times to delve deep into the careers of notable directors and will speak to all movie fans, from the general audience to the hardcore cinephile.
Wow, well, that's quite a resume you're looking for. What are you thinking regarding schedule? Monthly, weekly, daily?
Weekly, of course.
All right, well, let me crunch these numbers in our patented podcast matrix. See what I can find for you. Wow, I don't believe it.
What is it?
We actually found the perfect match. This almost never happens.
Really? Well, dreams do come true. What is it?
It is the Cinema Geeks podcast, of course.
Well, that sounds perfect. But where can I hook up with such an awesome podcast?
Well, you can find it weekly on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastRadio.com.
Awesome. Podcast Marathon, here I come.
Another satisfied customer brought to you by P Harmony and the folks over at the Cinema Geeks Podcast.
We are back here on Podcaster Meets World, Episode 2. Season 1 is in the books for us. How often do you go back and watch the first season?
Very seldom. I prefer to move on to later in the show.
Right.
But there are those nice, like, kind of down-to-earth elements of the first season compared to later on, where it gets more in-depth with, you know, you get Harvey, you know, Harley Kiner and his stooges and, you know, stuff that's more reminiscent of middle school and high school that is the pain.
Yeah, very much.
Get a lot of famous actors showing up, though, later on that become big names.
I mean, even this season, we had a lot of famous actors show up. I mean, the fact that Blanche from the Golden Girls is in, like, Rue McClanahan was in an episode as the grandma, like, wow. Like, absolutely awesome. I think I said this in the first episode, or I might have said it in the pilot episode or the episode zero or whatever, but the way Boy Meets World breaks down is season one is middle school, season 2 to 5 is high school, and then 6 or 7 is college. 6 to 7 is college. So
pretty much.
Breaking it down like that is very, very cool. Because there's a lot that goes on in those 4 years of high school. I mean, a lot.
Yep.
That's going to do it for us, folks. If it seems a little short, or if it seems that I'm not really, quote-unquote, paying attention, I've got a lot going on in my own life right now, so doing my best. Like, we're in the midst of moving. Well, we're going to be in the midst of moving. We're buying a house. We're selling a house. We're doing this. We're doing that. We're trying to find a common middle ground for just existing, and like I said earlier, we're recording this on a Sunday. It'll be up this Tuesday, but you know, all day Sunday, my wife and I just either slept or just did nothing because we needed one of those do nothing kind of days. I guess I don't know. Any final words from you, sir, until next time we meet?
Nope. Just enjoying the nostalgia factor here.
Absolutely. Same here. Thank you for joining us here on Podcaster Meets World. There are several ways to get in contact with us and leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. Comment on this and all of other episode posts from this podcast and all the other podcasts. We need more comments, please. Email us feedback at this week... Wow. Whoa.
Ugh. Whoa.
Yeah, that was bad.
Edit point.
Yeah. No, that's just going to be one of those record scratches. Whoa. Email us feedback at geekcastradio.com. Let us know what your favorite episodes of season one of Boy Meets World are. We will read any emails for the previous seasons, kind of thing in our part two. So, like, this is part two of season one. We'll read these emails in the next episode. But if you have other things you want to say about season two, three, four, five, six, or seven kind of a thing, we'll read those in the part twos of each of those seasons episodes. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. Geekcast Radio is the network Twitter. I am at TFG and Mike. What is your Twitter?
At SCP21.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradionetwork. We hope you enjoyed this second episode of Podcaster Meets World and wish you'll join us next time when we'll be talking about the first half of Boy Meets World Season 2. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Steve Megatron Phillips.
Tune in next Tuesday as we continue our journey through Boy Meets World here on Podcaster Meets World.
I have a question.
Who cares?
This isn't like home, Eric. In here, when I raise my hand, you have to answer.
I do.
I do too.
All right. Now, next year when you're 16 and driving to school, would you be willing to give a ride to a certain few select phlegmballs?
Do I have to?
I wouldn't.
Drop dead.
What do I owe you? Thank you.